This week in Palestine offers news from a Palestinian perspective. The following hour may contain views that do not necessarily reflect those of WZBC, Boston College, or its Board of Trustees.
You are listening to This Week in Palestine. I'm your host, Ann Lucas. My dear listeners, now is the time for regrouping, rethinking strategies, and continuing to organize. And that is the focus of this week's show. I attended a webinar for CARE Action this week. CARE Action is the political arm of the Council on American Islamic Relations. Listeners, I found it inspiring, and I bet you will too. It provided a setting for me to seriously ponder the relationship between Palestinian liberation and global liberation, and the ways that Palestinian liberation liberates so many more people beyond Palestine. And how it's not one or the other. It is truly both and. This webinar contains a few things. First of all, this webinar contains some very good news. The election that just happened in the U.S. feels like it was all negative results. Not true. CARE Action was fairly effective in getting candidates elected down ballot in 19 different states. There is some great news to be found in the work they have already done and plan to do. Second, it was also a good pep talk. If you need to hear words of encouragement, they have them in spades. If you need framings of the current moment that motivate you to do something versus moping in despair, this episode is also for you. Of course, they are making the case for why anyone should donate to CARE Action and be involved. And you can definitely donate and get involved at www.cair.com. But also remember, there's lots of ideas here and inspiration for how to organize in other contexts as well. There are also a variety of voices, from longtime activists to recent additions. It highlights how, while we may all be in very different places in our own process, that does not preclude us from working together for a better world for Palestinians and Americans. So the people we will hear from in this webinar include Senior Advisor to CARE Action, Nina Sarsour. If you don't know her, you definitely need to. She is the pep talker in chief in all circumstances for the Palestinian Liberation Movement in the U.S. We will also hear from Mo Maraca. Mo is a data analyst, getting a grip on how the Muslim vote went down in the U.S. this past week. He also connects the survival of his Palestinian identity to the safety of Muslim Americans writ large. Finally, we will hear from CARE Action's executive director, Bassem Elgarad. As you will hear Lena say, the people of Gaza do not get to sit around in despair. They do not stop fighting, and neither should we. I hope you find some inspiration and drive to keep fighting for Palestinian liberation in this show, as well as some ideas about how to organize within your community. We really do have a lot to listen to, so yalla bina, let's go.
So I'm going to start from the beginning. Assalamu alaikum, everyone. This is your dear sister, Linda Sarsour. I'm actually looking at myself on the screen, and I'm in awe that I look awake, that I'm able to even have this conversation with all of you. We wanted to be here today so that we can start talking next steps as a community. We wanted you to understand where we are, analysis of what happened, and how we move forward as a community together. We have learned many things over the many years that we have been organizing, and we understand for many people that there have been mixed emotions over the last 24 hours. What we do know is that Donald Trump is the next president of the United States of America, and that means many things for our Muslim American communities. Right now, we have to understand what happened, where we are going, how we are going to respond. But before we even get into any of that, and there'll be many smart people on this call tonight that will talk to you a little bit about data and analysis and voter turnout and trends that happen, I wanted to say to all of you that we've been here before. I don't want people in our community to be afraid. This is not a time for us to say we're just going to give up. And while we absolutely 100% know that everything is Qadr Allah and everything Allah is in control. We also know as Muslims that we must tie our camels, that we have a responsibility to build infrastructure to protect our communities. We've also learned a lot in this election season about building Muslim American political power. What we watched in Gaza over the last 14 months, the mass slaughter of the Palestinian people with American taxpayer dollars, the things we witnessed in the ways in which groups like AIPAC targeted members of Congress who stood up and supported and defended the Palestinian people. In this election season, we saw the defeat of Jamal Bowman in New York, of Cori Bush in St. Louis. So we've seen some defeats, but we also have a lot of triumph and wins, something that I experienced organizing and mobilizing voters across the country in the last few months. As I was able to witness down ballot races, I was witnessing Muslim Americans win office down the ballot in many states across the country. In Dearborn, I was watching Muslim Americans go on school boards in places like Dearborn and Dearborn Heights. We have to understand that there are wins. There were moments in this last election or in the last 24 hours that we could be proud of as a community. Yes. For me, a Donald Trump presidency is a terrible situation. There is no one that can convince me that Donald Trump is going to be good for our Muslim communities. But at the end of the day, as Muslim Americans and as just people in general and as an organizer myself, I don't put my hopes in politicians. I never believe that politicians, in fact, have our entire best interest at heart. My safety, my protection as a Muslim American, as a Palestinian American, the protection of my family is in solidarity. It is within my own community. So we have to right now in this moment decide whether we want to build infrastructure, whether we want to invest in building the political power of our communities. And so last night, there were many questions that people had. What we know is that Donald Trump is going to the White House. We do know that the Republicans now hold the majority in the United States Senate. And right now, we don't have confirmed information about this because there are still at least 40 House races that still have not been called. But there is a great possibility that the Republicans also will hold a majority in the House. What does that mean? Well, that means that the Republicans will have the White House, the United States Senate, and they'll also have Congress, which means for us as a community, it's going to be very difficult for not just us, but our neighbors and our allies to be able to block bad legislation that could be targeting our communities. Because again, the Republicans have pretty much every branch in government, including having the Supreme Court. For example, today there was a question that was asked to Donald Trump's, President-elect Donald Trump's press secretary, Ms. Leavitt. They were asking her, what are the plans for your first days in office? We know that when Donald Trump went to the White House back in 2017, he had a plan for the first few days and he implemented the very things that he said he would do. And this time, Ms. Leavitt's response was there were three plans. Number one, they were going to immediately fire the highest counsel for the White House, which is basically the lawyer for the White House. They were going to immediately fire them on day one. They are also going to exonerate or free those who were indicted and sentenced and jailed from the January 6th insurrection. Donald Trump is going to let them free. And the third thing that they said is that they were going to start implementing the largest mass domestic deportation program that this country has ever seen. So we don't know exactly. We haven't gotten to that day to understand. But it's important for us as Muslims to understand what is needed in this moment to build the mechanisms to protect our communities. So here at CARE Action, which, as you know, is the C4, the political arm of CARE National, which is the nonprofit organization. We have been working for the last 7 months on primary races and many other races across the country, down ballot races. And many folks on this call today are going to share with you much about our work, how many phone calls we made to Muslim homes, how many texts were sent to Muslim homes across the country. But what I'm here to tell you, sisters and brothers, is you have to join an organization. You have to participate. You have to stay well-informed. And one way you can do that is by being connected to an organization like CARE Action, going to our website, signing up so that you can get alerts, so you can get statements, so you can get action alerts, so you know what to do. And if we are in your city, so you know that we're coming to your city, we have a lot of plans coming up. And one thing I've been telling people, and I have said this to people across the last 24 hours, 36 hours, is that I don't know about you, but I was going to fight anyway. I was going to fight Kamala Harris if she was in the White House. I was ready to fight Donald Trump if he was in the White House. One of the things that we're going to do, and I'll end with this before we pass it on to other folks who are here with us today, is you know who is the president of the United States right now? That is a man named Joe Biden. The fact that our community forgot that there is a sitting United States president right now, and we stopped putting pressure, that there has been people have taken the foot off the gas on Joe Biden. We should be spending the next 7 weeks before there's a transfer of power, demanding that Joe Biden end the genocide of the Palestinian people. We should be saying to Joe, hey, you do not have to end your term with genocide. You allowed genocide. You aided and abetted genocide, but you don't have to end your presidential term with genocide. We have the power to do that if we organize and move together. A lot of the work that we are doing, a lot of the energy, the enthusiasm, and even the rage that we have as Muslim Americans has escalated in the last 14 months. And what our people in Gaza deserve, sisters and brothers, is an organized community, is a powerful community, is a united community. We found in this election that our community is not monolithic. We don't all believe the same things. We're not all from the same places. But at some point, we're going to have to find consensus on our principles and values. And we're all going to have to agree that it is in the best interest of Muslim Americans to have political power and to have a political influence. No longer will we keep saying that we don't want to engage in politics. Politics is not for me, Sister Linda. I don't do politics. I keep telling you, if you don't do politics, politics is going to do you, because everything about you is politicized. As a Muslim American, as Palestinians, as Arab Americans, we are politicized in this country. Our issues, are the countries that our parents came from, are politicized. And so we have a huge responsibility right now as Muslim Americans to move ourselves forward. People keep giving us, you know, saying, are we going to organize towards the Democratic Party again? Are we going to organize third party? The first thing that you do before you organize in a political party is you got to get your house in order. And what we're going to be doing, inshallah, across this country is developing committees, organizing, training, and making sure that Muslim Americans have the skills, the resources, the tools, the guides to make sure that we are making powerful, informed decisions. And we are staying connected from New York to California, from Dearborn to Dallas, from Chicago, Illinois to Tallahassee, Florida. And we are excited about this work. So I want you to know, no one at CARE Action right now is sad. We are not sad. We are more clear than we have ever been before about what is ahead of us and what we have to do to protect our communities, to protect our neighbors. Because remember, we as Muslims, we are not a selfish people. When we say justice as Muslims, we don't mean just us. We are ready to not only defend and protect our communities under a Donald Trump, we are here to defend and protect our neighbors, and we are going to do this together. So without further ado, I want to introduce to you a beloved brother of mine. He is someone who is a data scientist. He has been looking at voter data and literally doing all these calculations for us for many years and doing it for many others. He comes out of the Obama campaign. He is someone that is sought out. He's one of the most brilliant strategists in the political field out of our Muslim American communities. He happens to be Palestinian as well. I don't know what it is about us Palestinians, Mo, but we're just the brilliant people, alhamdulillah. Allah has blessed us.
Khalili.
He's Khalili. You got to make Khalili, which means for folks that don't know, Al-Khalil is Hebron. So he is from Hebron in Palestine. And so this is my dear brother, Mo Maraka. Someone's asking a question before we get to that, because I keep calling Mo my colleague, but I want to be clear that, yes, I am a senior advisor at CARE Action. And I get the privilege and pleasure of working with Mo Maraka and many incredible people on this team. So I'm going to hand it over to you, Mo. Tell them what happened, what's going on. People are trying to understand what trends have you seen in this election, and just giving our people a little rundown.
Assalamu alaikum, everybody, and thank you, Linda. It's always a pleasure to interact. And I don't know if you guys, everybody on this call, understands how much work this woman does day to day. It's incredible. I don't know how she keeps up. I have no idea how she keeps up with her work and meetings and radio shows and speeches. And I'm exhausted just listening to her schedule. So, mashallah, Sister Linda. this year has been an incredible year. I think I was talking to Brother Nihad Awad, who's the executive director of CARE Foundation, earlier today, and he said, you know what, this year might have not gotten us the results that we wanted. Maybe this is a shock, but this is the year that we, our community, you know, finally formed action committees, super PACs. This is the year where we've become politically conscious, and we've done a lot of work this year. Thanks to a lot of organizations, you know, there's Sister Manel Bahouri, Dr. Manel Bahouri, convened a group together called the Palestine Election Strategy, which included CARE and CARE Action and some other groups. And finally, we were able to, you know, coordinate between a lot of the groups. And I have never worked with the Muslim community before. My career has honestly been working for the Democratic Party. Before that, I was in marketing research and on Wall Street, and I got recruited. I didn't know anything. I'm a first-generation American. I'm an immigrant. And I didn't know anything about politics, and I got recruited to be on a data science team, and I stuck to politics. I thought it was interesting. But I've never worked, honestly, full-time with the Muslim community or the Arab American community. And this year, I just couldn't be a Democrat anymore, given where they stood. I'm Palestinian, you know, and my family's been in my city for a long, long time. And I couldn't do it. I couldn't be a Democrat anymore. So I started working with CARE Action, and I was really surprised. The level and intensity of the work that CARE Action took on this year, given the small team, but it's a fast-growing team, was amazing. It was really impressive. CARE and ADC, and so we're growing. We're building the infrastructure. What happened this year? Well, traditionally, and this is the truth, Muslim Americans don't vote, or we vote at a 50 to 55% level, depending on what state you're in. How do we know that? Well, there's a thing called the National Voter File, and it identifies Muslims. That identification process, honestly, is not perfect. It can be, these are models, right? There is no way to identify people as Muslims legally. So they build models that identify Muslims, and we kind of aggregate that data. Is it perfect? No. But it's important to understand that that is a shared source of facts. What does that mean? That means when we as a community go to elected officials and say, our community turned out this many voters in your district, there has to be some way for us to come to an agreement on whether that's true or not. And that, for the time being, is the voter file and the Muslim bundles that exist on that voter file. So according to that data, which is, you know, not perfect, but I think very reliable, Muslims have voted between 50 and 55%. In addition, and I think that's something that we're going to take on at CARE Action, very, very few voted early and voted by mail. Why is that important? That's important because it indicates a level of enthusiasm and commitment to vote. When elected officials look at a community and see that a lot of the voters that in that community are early voters or absentee voters, they understand that this is a community that's actually going to turn out in force. And that becomes something that they have to, you know, compromise with or hedge against, you know, so they start taking the community seriously. Unfortunately, our community likes to vote on election day, but starting next year, me and Brother Ali are going to work in Virginia and New Jersey and debut a plan where we sign up Muslims to vote by mail. That's been very, very successful with the Latino community. When I started working in politics in 2008, Arizona was a red state. It was not even a competitive state. And what happened is Latino organizers there started getting everybody on a program called PEVL. If you're from Arizona, you know what that is. It's the permanent early vote list. That's what PEVL stands for. And it, you know, people vote by mail. And now Arizona is not only a competitive state, like the Latino community turnout rate has exploded there, and they dominate in their state. So we want to try to do that in all our communities. You get a letter. Every time there's an election, the city sends you a letter. They send you notifications to make sure that you go vote. So that's something that's going to be highlighted. What we saw this year was an explosion of vote on election day. I think that was, you know, the other thing I would say is we're not going to know exactly how many people voted unless it goes precinct by precinct. But a lot of you Muslims, I'm sure, live in precincts or in neighborhoods where you're not surrounded by other Muslims. It's a mixed neighborhood. So we're not going to know until your respective states update the voter file. That starts happening in January. Between January and April is when all the states update their voter rolls to let us know who voted in last year in the 2024 election. So until then, we are left guessing or making educated analyses using precinct data on how our turnout was. But it seems from just looking at precincts in heavily Muslim, in heavily concentrated Muslim areas, there was a high turnout. And just from some exit polling I've done for CARE, which they're going to announce tomorrow, there was a huge, Jill Stein was the largest, a large share of Muslim votes went to Jill Stein, but also a substantial number of Muslims ended up voting for Trump. Actually, Kamala Harris rated third in almost every state where we did an exit poll with Muslims, which is crazy. You know, I never thought that that would happen, but not surprising given that he actually campaigned in our community and the Democrats refused to campaign or acknowledge our community. So, you know, you can imagine that a lot of people who are not politically aware might have started supporting him for that reason. And finally, what I would say is, in addition to turnout, I think this is the year, and I spend a year doing this, raising money and doing digital work for a lot of candidates. Our community is incredible. We've given so much money to candidates that are Muslim, to candidates that are not Muslim but support Muslims. And so that has been really uplifting. And that's a huge part of being politically active. If you can give, you should support some groups or candidates that can do that, because that's actually, in my experience in American politics, that's the number thing, the one thing they look for. And we all understand the power of donations because we all understand the power of AIPAC, and that's how they get all their power. But our power is growing, and it's growing at an incredible rate. And so we're able, I think, CARE Action, Ahmad, Brother Ahmad, who's the chair of the board, and Brother Bassam, who's the executive director, are putting together several initiatives that allow Muslims to support not only CARE Action, but candidates that are vetted and endorsed by CARE Action. That's really important. We need to have a source of information where we look at candidates, we judge their positions on the things that our community cares about, and we assess if it's a good investment of our community's resources. Does this candidate have a chance moving forward? Because, we're asking people who are mostly, it's not generational wealth, it's not inherited wealth. These are all people who earn their money to invest considerable resources. And we want to make sure that these candidates, these investments in resources and politicians end up in making changes that we actually want to see. So I thank Brother Ahmed and Brother Bassam for doing all that hard work and getting that set up.
Thank you so much, Mo. There's so much more information. Mo could have sat here for the next 3 hours and shared with you lots of data. We will have more specific data on voter turnout in Muslim American districts across the country in the next 60 days, probably when we come back from the holiday break and get into the new year. And that's what we're going to start doing, really being able to feed the community information, letting you know in your districts how many Muslim voters are in your districts. And there are many districts across the country. And you all know, in places like Passaic County and Bergen County, places in New York, from Staten Island to Brooklyn to Queens to the Bronx. When we think about Chicago, we think about Orland Park and Bridgeview and the greater Chicago area, parts of California, Dallas and Houston and Austin, Texas, Tampa, Florida, Orlando, we have Muslim and high concentrations of Muslim American voters across the country. And CARE Action has bought the national voter data file. And alhamdulillah, Mo and Ali Jarrah was part of our team. They're going to continue to crunch the numbers. We're going to continue to clean up our data and understand where we can flex political muscle across the country. And so that work is already, it's not work that we do just during an election season. We're really going to be focused in the years to come, and in particular, starting right now as we go into 2025. Many folks know I'm from New York City. Lots of people don't think that New York's an important state. We're a deep blue state, but we are very important on the local level. We have an incredible opportunities coming up in 2025, and I'm so excited about being able to work through CARE Action on these opportunities that we'll tell you more about very soon. Many people see here a question and answer. If you look at your Zoom, there is a place for you to put directly your question and answer so we do not lose it in the chat. We are going to start answering your questions, as many as possible, after another presentation from another dear brother who is our leader and the executive director of CARE Action, our dear brother Bassem Al-Qarra, a Palestinian-American, you know, activist, political strategist. He is a member of the Sacramento School Board, if not the president of the school board. And he's been in politics for a real long time, has organized within the Democratic Party in California. He has transitioned from his nonprofit C3 work on the CARE side to come to the CARE Action side. And we have been literally, as they say, building a plane while we're flying it. And we're very proud of the work that we have been able to do in one of the most complicated, stressful elections that any of us have ever worked in our entire organizing careers. Our dear brother Bassem is from Gaza, and I tell people all the time that me and Bassem make a great team. Bassem is a very optimistic person, even as someone from Gaza who has lost over 115 members of his family. He still feels hope. He has hope in our community. He believes in us. He thinks that our community just needs a little coordination, a little organization, and we could transform this country. I'm not as optimistic as Bassem, but I am following his leadership in this moment. And inshallah, we will do something together and we will transform this country, because I know that when Muslims lead, we lead from a place of compassion and a place of justice and dignity for all. And inshallah, we're going to do the work that matches those words. So please, Bassem, welcome and you know, inspire these people for what's to come.
Assalamu alaikum, everyone. Thank you, my sister. My sister and mashallah, we sued Trump together a few years back. And this past year, I sued Biden. And so, you know, it's not me just having hope. It's the people of Gaza that put their hope in us, in our community. And they're paying attention to what the American Muslim community is doing. When the encampments took place, what did they do? They wrote the names of the universities on their tents. So they're watching. And this is the least that we can do to stop the genocide in Gaza and the destruction of Lebanon. You know, this night after the election, you know, I know our community is still sorting out so many emotions, and probably one of the most difficult election seasons as we witness this genocide for this past year. And as now we brace ourselves for a second Trump presidency, we have to take this moment to reflect on what happened and just say that genocide is not a winning strategy. In many swing states that cost, you know, VP Harris's election, we find that the margin that Trump won by was in fact less than the amount of voters in that state. The latest numbers show that Harris is losing Michigan by 83,000 votes, a state we have over 200,000 registered Muslims and Arab Americans. In another swing state, in Pennsylvania, Trump is leading by 155,000 votes. A state, we have over 167 registered Muslim voters, and in a state that Biden won by 80,000 votes in 2020. Keep in mind, Pennsylvania is a state where 30% of the voters in a poll said they would be more likely to vote for the Democratic nominee if the nominee vowed to withhold weapons to Israel, as opposed to 7% who said they would be less likely. So it's clear that the Harris campaign did not care to align with their own Democratic base in this election, unfortunately, and lost miserably. We as a community, we have to recognize the power of this moment, the political power and the strength we are building, and realize that our votes are our power. Regardless of where the Muslim community directed their votes in this election, the most important point we must all take away is that we have shown that the Muslim voices matter. Muslim votes matter, and we are never to be taken for granted, my brothers and sisters. So, alhamdulillah, mashallah, I'm blessed to work with some of the most dedicated and amazing team members. In a short period of time, just in this general election, not even including the primary, we reached over 1 million Muslim and allied voters, over 600,000 in swing states. So when we launched CARE Actions, we prioritized investing in the nationwide voter file, which is very expensive. We invested in tech infrastructure to optimize voter targeting. We leveraged new capabilities such as voter scoring to efficiently target key voter segments. Our community was eager to phone bank and text bank. Just this last week, before the election, in one night, we had 183 people calling, volunteering and calling. And alhamdulillah, they called and texted nationwide with incredible success stories, converting those who were staunchly against voting in this election to those who finally were convinced that our local Muslim candidates and our allies deserve their support. We had text bankers who stayed on with community members until they found their polling locations, guided them through who to vote for, and assuring them that their polling locations are still open. Alhamdulillah, we targeted outreach of over 1.2 million voters via text banking and phone banking alone. So, empowering our community. Alhamdulillah, we developed 33 voter guides across 16 states in partnership with over 100 community advisors all around the country. We researched and took positions on over 1,490 candidates, which I'll tell you, in the history of the American Muslim community, this was a record. We integrated CARE Action endorsements into other groups' recommendations and platforms, such as Vote for Peace. And alhamdulillah, we've had many success stories in various states across the nation from our endorsements. In New Jersey alone, over 20 candidates won that we endorsed. They won the races. It includes many Muslim candidates who won their mayoral, city council, and board of education races. In St. Louis, which has over 100,000 Bosnian Muslims, we translated the guide in their language to make sure that it was accessible. Now, widespread engagements. We had key partnerships with national and local organizations and groups. We collaborated with imams to create a unified get out the vote message. And we thank all the imams around the country who were very instrumental in pushing the Muslims to get out the vote. And we coordinated efforts in 19 states. Now, CARE's big wins. Alhamdulillah, we can't announce them all yet because there's still a lot of votes to be counted. But we know in the next few days, we're going to be announcing a lot more victories. Alhamdulillah. You know, when a certain pro-genocide lobby puts out a graphic that says, you know, 100% of our candidates, you know, won their elections. That's not true. We have, you know, Angela Alsbrooks in Maryland. During the primary, we endorsed her during the primary. They endorsed another candidate. Alhamdulillah, she pulled it off with our community support. And in this general election, with the community support, she won, alhamdulillah, becoming the first Black woman from Maryland to serve in the U.S. Senate. Then we have our dear sister, Latifa Simon, the first Muslim elected to Congress from California. She took over Barbara Lee's seat, who was a staunch ally of our community for the past few decades. And then there's a race of Nabila Sayed in the Illinois State House. There's Delia Ramirez for House District 3, Congressional District 3 in Illinois, and many more, inshallah. And we'll be announcing, and we're going to be putting out reports and letting the community know about all the victories around the country. Now, what's next? While many, you know, want to put this election past them, our job at CARE Action has just begun. We're going to roll up our sleeves, continue rolling up our sleeves, and prepare to analyze all aspects of the presidential election from a federal, state, and local levels. We're going to engage with our community to build for the future. So we're going to analyze. We're going to conduct a deep dive on the final Muslim voter turnout and engagement metrics to inform future campaigns. We're going to provide an honest assessment of successes, challenges, and lessons learned. And we're going to share quantitative data and findings with our community. Next, we're going to engage We're going to coordinate with local chapters to organize training sessions and workshops for activists, organizers, faith and community leaders. We're going to introduce, lobby, and pass legislation at state houses, and then internships, making sure that our community members intern at all levels of government so that, inshallah, they can be the next chief of staff, the next director of communication, the next legislative director. And then we're going to develop and maintain regular engagement with our community in all these areas. Then we're going to build. We're already strategizing and allocating resources for the 2025 races. There's going to be city council races, there's governor races. We're going to inspire and build a candidate pipeline for 2026 and 2028 at school boards, city councils, state houses, and Congress. Inshallah, we're going to train the next generation of campaign managers. So not only do we need staff, you know, from our community to work on all these different levels, we need to make sure that we have folks that are running campaigns. MashaAllah, we were blessed to have former campaign managers that worked at all levels that were on our team, and that made a huge difference. So inshallah, folks that are interested and become campaign managers, reach out to us, and inshallah, be part of our program. And of course, strengthen partnerships with our communities. Without our communities and our grassroots, we can't do this work. And alhamdulillah, we are launching care action chapters all around the country. And so if you're interested in a chapter near you, please reach out to the team. And inshallah, we look forward to working with you.
We're going to open up to questions now. We have so many questions. We're not going to be able to go through every single question, but I'm going to try to do my best. And if we could folks spotlight Mo and Bassem back on the screen, because there might be some questions that they want to, if they want to join me here in answering. But here are some of the questions people are asking us here. Recommendations for those of us currently under pro-Israel Republican senators. Folks, it doesn't matter who your representative is right now, whether they're Democrat and Republicans. It's probably quite likely that whether they're Democrat or Republican, they're probably pretty pro-Israel. You already know that it's very few people live in districts that have pro-Palestinian, anti-genocide members of Congress. What do? You keep organizing. You have now until 2026, register voters in your community. If you can set up tables at your local mosques to register voters at the local supermarket, wherever you can, continue to build power and to build that base and organize your communities. You got to keep holding them accountable. Show up, bring some friends in the district and show up to their offices demanding that they support an end to this genocide. Continue to have interactions with your people who represented you. Oftentimes, even when we elect people who are our friends, once they go inside, we don't even talk to them. We wait till something bad happens. It's constant communication. Even when your members of Congress or Senate does something bad, you let them know they're doing something bad. But guess what? When they're doing something good, write them a letter, call their office and say to them, hey, thank you so much for that vote that you did today. Thank you so much for showing up or whatever it is that they did for your community. So constant communication with the members of Congress or your representatives, regardless of who they are and what party they are a part of. There's a question here about Trump stating that he will end the war in the Middle East without, of course, elaborating on the plan. What do we think he will do about Palestinians facing ongoing genocide? What should Americans do under this administration? Before we get to the next administration, let's talk about this administration. And I said this earlier, President Biden is still the president of the United States today. So tomorrow morning, wake up and call the White House, continue to send emails, continue to mobilize and organize to demand that President Biden stop this genocide. If we are to go into the next year and there continues to be a genocide, and I've said this before, for me personally, it was not going to matter to me whether Kamala Harris or Donald Trump went to the White House. We're going to still have to organize. Now we're just going to have to organize even harder than we've ever had to organize before. So when your masajid are calling you out for mobilizations or when community organizations and activists are calling you, you have to show up. You got to stay consistent. You got to stay persistent because the Palestinian people deserve that. And so that's what we're going to do. We're going to continue to hold this administration accountable for the next few weeks. And then we're going to start right immediately. The inauguration happens and we're ready to go and we're ready to hold Donald Trump accountable and also hold the leaders in our community. There were a few that supported Donald Trump. This is their moment to get the concessions that they apparently got around Donald Trump ending the war. There are links in the chat about how to sign up for care. When you sign up, we're going to ask you what state you're in, New Jersey. And what we're going to be able to do is we're going to be able to send emails and action alerts directly to New Jersey residents. So sign up on the Care Action website. And that way we are going to be able to organize that on the back end. So everybody, you're from California, New York, it doesn't matter where you're from. If you sign up on the national website, we're going to be able to filter you out by state so you can get state appropriate information. Let's see here. So there's a question here from Brother Yusuf asking about that. There's a percentage of Muslims that voted Harris nationally. That he's seeing it saying 63%. We're not going to really have accurate data information till later. These are what they call exit polls. They're done by samples as people are leaving polling sites, so they're not 100% accurate. Yes, we did have members of our community that absolutely did vote for Kamala Harris. We had people in our community who voted for Jill Stein and Cornel West. And of course, we did have a segment of our community that did vote for Donald Trump. So we are going to share that information later on as we get more specific information in the next 60 days. Hind is asking a great question. I don't know, Bassem. I mean, the question here is around how Care Action National will be working with the state level cares, for example, like a Care Pennsylvania, our Care New Jersey folks. So I don't know if you want to jump in here, Bassem, and answer that question.
You know, it's so Care Action California, Care Action Texas, Care Action New Jersey. It's one team. We're going to leverage, you know, folks that I've worked for years passing legislation at state houses that have lobbied at a federal level. We're going to all be working together. And the way we're going to do it is that you're going to have a national communications team that's to support all these chapters. So we don't have to hire comms folks, you know, all around the country. We're going to hire just one team that's going to be there to support them there, operations, programs, and all that. So the folks on the ground in each state are just going to be focused on advocacy, focused on lobbying. So we're kind of, you know, you have this unique model that's very efficient, lean, and is going to allow us to really make a difference, inshallah, at the local level.
Absolutely. And so folks know here, Care Action is the C4 arm of Care National. So they do the political work and do a lot of the political education work. There's also a Care PAC that is a coordinated, a hybrid PAC that Care has. We also have the Unity and Justice Fund PAC, which is a super PAC. So there are multiple kind of pieces here that we're coordinating for our community. Inshallah, you know, we just started in this year, but I promise you folks, we are building this plane while we're flying it. And inshallah, by the time we get to the midterm elections, we're going to be able to transform congressional races across this country. And we're very excited to be able to win with all of you. So make dua for us, folks, that we need all of your duas. We also need your support. The bottom line here, sisters and brothers, as you're listening to our presentation, as you're watching and meeting many of the people in the team here, you know, there's a saying that I heard one time, Jesse Jackson, the Reverend Jesse Jackson say, he said, freedom is not free. You either pay now or you pay later. I don't like paying later. I like to pay right now because I want to pay it forward for the young people in our community to be able to develop the political infrastructure and influence to protect our community, to protect our students, to protect our institutions. And in order for us to do that, as we are a very generous community towards charity for Yemen, for Palestine, for Syria, we want our people to start coming in here and also investing in political work. Wait, is someone say, so Jamal Bowman is on the call. Can one of my facilitators here, co-host, can you all bring up our dear brother Jamal Bowman? I need him up here with us. Look at my favorite brother over here. We see us, we already scheming.
I'm well, you know, crazy night, long night. Not just at the, you know, with the president, but with the Senate, with the House. And so, you know, a lot going on, a lot to reflect on. I'm just kind of taking it all in. And I really appreciate you all having this call tonight. Like, I appreciate you getting right back to it. It's really important for us to have these conversations. I was trying to just be on the call on the humble, you know, just kind of listening, you know, just taking it all in. But this is exactly we need to be doing. So shout out to Care Action. Please continue to organize. Please continue to do what you do. You know, the results are the results, you know, wherever you stand on that. But what Linda said is really important. And I want to echo what she said. She said, whether it was Kamala or Trump, she was going to keep fighting. And we have to keep that same energy. It doesn't matter who's in the White House. We got to keep organizing, keep fighting. It doesn't matter who's in the House. It doesn't matter who's in the Senate. We have our agenda. We have our issues, and we have to keep organizing and fighting, period. And not just on the federal level. We got to do it on the state level as well. We got to hold these governors accountable. We got to hold these state reps accountable in your county, in your city, in your town, in your village, on your school board. Because if we don't stand up and speak up and organize, our agenda will be completely ignored and we will be discarded and marginalized. And I want to say one more thing. This is a moment for the Democratic Party to do some deep reflection and soul searching. Because I personally feel like someone that was discarded by the Democratic Party is disillusioned, dishonest, inauthentic, pro-genocide politics that doesn't connect with working-class people on the ground, has a foreign policy that supports white supremacy and imperialism. I was one of the Democrats that was discarded by this party. And if they didn't discard me and my sister Cori Bush, and they took us in, they would have had a much better chance to win this election because we speak honestly and listen, more importantly, to the people that feel ignored by the party. And so a lot more work to do, brothers and sisters. Thank you for allowing me to say a few words, Linda.
First of all, Brother Jamal, ain't nothing humble about people from New York. We don't play that humble stuff. When we're around, trust me, the people want to hear what the New Yorkers have to say. And you know this, Brother Jamal, and we're going to say this, and people, we love you before you were a congressman. We're going to love you after you're a congressman, when you're a congressman again, or whatever else you want to do in this world. The one community that you're going to always count on is our community, because you are our brother. We didn't just love you because you were a truth teller in Congress. We built a deep relationship with you. We saw your honor, your dignity, your integrity as a human being. And you showed great integrity and empathy towards the Palestinian people. And that is something that our community will never forget from you. And I want you to know that every night when you go to bed at night, you sleep well. Because that is what's the most important thing, that we go to bed at night wanting the whole world to be safe. We don't want to see the bloodshed of any people. We want to see justice in the world. So we're just honored to always have you. We're going to be together November 26th on Friday for the 30th anniversary of CARE. It's going to knock you off your socks, Jamal. It's going to be a big crowd out there who also loves you. So I'm excited that you get to come to spaces where you feel the real love that you deserve, that you did not get from the Democratic Party, nor did we get, Jamal, from the Democratic Party. And I will say this because there are some questions that are kind of related to this in the chat. The bottom line is a lot of these communities of color, we come from a very simple and humble places in the sense that people are just want to be seen. They just want to be heard. They wanted the Democratic Party to hear their pain. It's okay for us as a party that's a big tent to listen to the pain of people. And guess what? Also to agree to disagree, that we're trying to hold so many viewpoints in so many communities, and the Democratic Party failed at that miserably. So not only did they alienate what we would consider to be the people that are pro-humanity and that are anti-genocide, they also managed to alienate the people who are pro-genocide. They couldn't keep anybody. And then they were going out and recruiting a voter base that did not exist. We should have been spending and investing money in Black organizing and Black voter turnout and Latino voter turnout and Muslim voter turnout and other marginalized community turnout, because we are the loyal parts of the party. We are the people that have for decades have been overwhelmingly and majority voted for the Democratic Party. Over 85% of Muslims voted for Joe Biden in Michigan in 2020. This is something to say, but like you said, Jamal, sometimes you got to learn the hard way. And this is the hard way. The sad part about it is we are going to pay the heaviest price. And that is what makes me so outraged at the party, that we, our community, the most marginalized people in this country, are paying a heavy price for the mistakes of the party. But we're going to fight, because that's who we are and that's who our ancestors are and that's what we know how to do. And so today what we're asking people here to do is don't take your foot off the gas. You know, give to CARE Action. You know, freedom ain't free. We got to work. We got to pay the staff. The data isn't free that we do. All the analysis that we're putting forth is not free. And so we want our community to start investing in building the political power of Muslim American voters. And I promise you, Jamal, when we build the power of Muslim Americans, our power is for our neighbors too. We want to be able to influence policy like healthcare and affordable housing and economic justice. And we want to protect our immigrant neighbors and we want to protect women. Like, this is who we are as a community. It's how we've always voted as a community. So if you are on this call and you are an ally, a friend to our community, I'm telling you that investing in us is also investing in yourself. We're going to wrap this up by saying donate today. Give $50, $100, $500, whatever you have, because the work actually starts today. And then we're going to tell you to sign up. And as I said earlier, when you sign up to CARE Action, we are going to be able to filter you by your state so you can get state relevant information. We can send emails only to people that are in New Jersey, only to people in Illinois, only to people that are in New York. And we'll also send you national emails so that you know what's happening on a national level. So make a donation to CARE Action. There is our email too. If you have follow-up questions, things that you need, please reach out to us at info@careaction.org. Our socials are all CARE Action on all social media platforms. We have a great social media team. And again, we're going to keep coming back. We're not here just, you know, because one day or you're not going to see us next year. You're going to see us a lot and we're going to be in your community. We've had the pleasure of being in places like Kansas City, St. Louis, Missouri, Panama City. We were just in Chicago with an incredible group of people last Friday. We have been to Northern California, Southern California, Texas, Maryland, New York, New Jersey. We are yes, Esma, St. Louis. So we're going to wrap up tonight and we just want to say may Allah continue to bless our communities. May Allah protect us. We are a people who are believers in Allah, but we also know that we have to tie our camels. And alhamdulillah, we have built a lot of skills in our community over the years. I want you to know that, mashallah, we don't have to rely on everybody else. We've built political power. We understand how to use the national voter file. We understand how to build a national voter phone banking operations. We are excited. We are going to be doing independent expenditures on behalf of or against candidates through our super PAC. We are excited. And part of that, someone asked this is not because we're just so obsessed and focused on AIPAC. We know that in order for us to be able to defeat groups like AIPAC, we have to focus on ourselves. We got to stop focusing on everybody else and we got to focus on ourselves and develop and build that power. And so I'm excited. I hope that you are excited. Inshallah, when you sign up, if we are in your area, we are going to, be in your area. We hope that you come. Thank you so much, everyone, for being here. I know that many of you have seen the work that Bassem has done, that I have done, folks like Imad and others that you see on this call, of course, are so excited about the partnership and work that we'll be doing with Brother Jamal and Sister Corey. They are not going anywhere. Don't worry about the fact that they're no longer in Congress, but trust me, they have many roles to play in the work that we're going to do to build a country, to build a Congress that is pro-humanity, that is anti-genocide, and that is truly going to work towards the self-determination of the Palestinian people. Do not be moved by fear, my friends. Fear is a choice. That is how I think about it. I heard that one time from Will Smith, and it was really powerful when he told me that actually during the Trump administration, that fear is a choice. I don't choose fear. I choose community all the time. I choose solidarity. I choose my neighbors. And I hope that is what you are going to do. So please, sisters and brothers, sign up, careaction.org, give to the organization. And inshallah, when we are in a town near you, please come out and see us. We promise you, we will continue to give you the energy, to give you the purpose, because this is what it is. Our people in Gaza are counting on us. Our neighbors here are counting on us. And yes, a dear brother in the chat, I love our people. Wallahi, our community is so incredible. Someone saying to you, if you really want to be committed, you could give a monthly donation. So if you're giving us $20 a month, $50 a month, I promise you, sisters and brothers, that this is your resources are being put forth so that we could build the political power that our community deserves. And, you know, people will say, maybe we're a little late in the game, but you know what? Nothing's ever too late. And if we're going to build now, we're going to be here now and we're going to stay here for a really long time. And inshallah, very soon, you all are going to look back on this day and you're going to say, mashallah, I was on a call on November 6th, the day after the United States elections, and we were on this call with Care Action. And only 2 years later, Care Action came back and we won all these races. We've been able to put forth these things. We were able to block Donald Trump. This is the kind of thing that I want to be able to win and to celebrate with all of you. Some folks are asking how you can reach me. It's very easy to reach me, actually. I know it's going to sound crazy when I tell you this, but it's lindasarsoor@gmail.com. And if you can't remember that, you could just go to my Instagram and there's a link to contact me in my bio. But anyway, may Allah protect you all. May Allah bless you all. May Allah protect our team. And may Allah guide us on a righteous path. And may he guide us towards doing what is good for our people and what is good for our neighbors. So until next time, everybody, thank you for being here. We thank you on behalf of the Care Action team. Assalamu alaikum. And now I'm going to take a nap and I'm not going to wake up till 9:30 a.m. Eastern time. So that means nobody from Care is allowed to call me before 9:30 a.m. Eastern time. Assalamu alaikum, everyone.
We are out of time, but I have to tell you, it takes a village to produce a show like This Week in Palestine. Special thanks to Mohammed Aghul and Bob Funk, with additional thanks to Stan Robinson and Steve Lowe. This Week in Palestine is a production of Truth and Justice Radio, currently at the home of WZBC Student Radio at Boston College. Thank you for spending your time with us today as we continue to work towards Palestinian liberation. See you next week. Thank you.